from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning, happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Thursday to everybody.
Happy Thursday. Coming up at 10:33, we do have a guest on the show. Secretary of State Kim Wyman will join the show and find out what she had to say about what's going on down in the state of Arizona. But right now, it is time for the three things that you need to know.
Number one.
Even though the governor paused all of the rollbacks earlier this week, a fourth wave of COVID-19 had been driving up hospitalizations across the state. And yesterday, at the end of our show, I read a text from a listener who is a Tacoma hospital worker, and that person told us that they had 29 people in the hospital with COVID, their ICU was full, and to be honest, and I'm all about transparency, I immediately regretted reading that text because we hadn't confirmed it. So we wanted to get someone who knows the overall picture of what's going on in our hospitals, and that is Cassie Sauer, the president of the Washington State Hospital Association, and she joins us now live. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. So we heard from the governor earlier this week, and we know that I think that we had quoted you as saying we're definitely in this fourth wave. What are we seeing right now in terms of hospitalizations across Washington?
Well, we have definitely seen an increase in hospitalizations across the state, which is very worrisome. We had actually been having hospitalizations decline pretty significantly, and we're down to about 350 people hospitalized, and that was pretty steady for about 5 or 6 weeks throughout the end of February and March and early April. And then suddenly we started to see a pretty fast increase in the number of folks hospitalized, up to more than 600 people hospitalized at a time. And so that's been a really big concern for us. It seems like it may be plateauing right now. The cases are plateauing. And so we're hopeful that we might be in a place of turning the corner, which would be great.
That is certainly great news. And just also for clarification, so you went from 350, you saw a dramatic increase, but at any point, are you seeing hospitals where they are either overwhelmed or that they're filled or at capacity?
We have a few hospitals that have reached a point where they need to transfer patients out. I think you probably have heard of the outbreak up in Ferry County.
Yes.
The hospitals in that community are pretty small, and they've had to transfer quite a lot of patients out, actually. But in general, hospitals are managing this really well. We have an incredibly cooperative group of hospitals with each other, and so there's a shared agreement, actually a written agreement among all the hospitals, that they will help each other make sure that no hospital gets overwhelmed, and that's unusual. And, you know, we saw in New York, in Arizona, Texas, California, where individual hospitals were overwhelmed. And so whether people lived or died and had something to do with which hospital they went to, and that has not been the case here. We have transferred staff, knowledge, medications, equipment, ventilators, patients, personal protective equipment all around the state. Even this week, we facilitated some personal protective equipment transfers up to those hospitals in Ferry County. Since they've had this outbreak, they needed more. We had other hospitals very willing to give it to them to make sure that they could take care of the folks who needed it.
I want to go back, and then all of a sudden in April, it started to increase. What's some of the factors as the reasons as to why? Is it the variants now? Because I even believe that lately there's just been more people here locally that I know of that all of a sudden have been coming down with COVID. What does this seem to be?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's definitely the variants. They are more contagious. They seem to have what's called a higher attack rate, which means they are from the virus side, their virus perspective, they're more successful at making people sick. So definitely something to be worried about. But the other piece, I think, is people are tired I hear people say, like, I'm kind of done with this pandemic. And I think the pandemic's not done with you. You know, it's not done with us. And I think a sense of complacency about, things got better. And so, maybe I can have a party. You know, in the case of the Ferry County outbreak, I can go to we can have a big karaoke event. It'll be fine. I think there's kind of a it'll be all right feeling, which I don't think is true. So I think I really liked what the governor had to say in his press conference when he said, we're pausing the phases, but we want to accelerate vaccination. If this is as your newscast said right before I came on, the state has more demand, has more supply of vaccines than it has demand. So we are finding, this surprises me because I was really eager to get vaccinated. So I couldn't get the line, when it was my turn, I wanted to be there as fast right. as I could. And I think that's the case of many people that I know. And then we know some people who just don't want to get vaccinated or aren't able to for medical reasons. We're finding a surprising number of people who are like, yeah, I'd get vaccinated. If a vaccine was available or, if it was easy, yeah, sure. Without, I feel like this has got such strong emotion attached to it for me, because I know how serious this disease is. So we're really trying to reach those folks who are in the, I've heard it's hard, I'm going to wait till it's not hard anymore. I want it to be really easy for me and I'll get to it when I get to it, to say now's the time to get to it. It's easy to find a vaccine appointment. Go get one, get started, protect yourself. You can enjoy your summer. You can do so much more when you're vaccinated.
So, and then you said the increase, and then now you're saying that right now there seems to be a plateau, which, by the way, we all agree is a great thing. I mean, we definitely are good with the plateau, and hopefully we start to see a significant decrease. Do the experts and you believe that plateau is because of vaccinations, or people start saying, oh, let me follow protocols a little bit better? What do you think that is from?
I think it's both. I think it's both more people being vaccinated, but I think it's also people, we were able to say for many weeks, cases are declining, things are getting better, things are opening up and the governor was opening, could go to restaurants and do a lot more things. And I think people felt like, oh, shoot, it's over. And I think with the fourth wave that's come, and not just here, but in other states, people have ratcheted back on their behaviors, which we appreciate, That's the thing about the fourth wave, which we keep saying to people, is it is totally stoppable. It is not inevitable. This is not our destiny. We can turn it around in a week or two at the most, if people will get vaccinated, wear their masks, keep their distance. We can knock this thing down.
One last question for you, Cassie, and that is, what are you seeing in terms of who's being hospitalized right now? I understand that many hospitals are saying the age group this time around is about, on average, 10 years younger.
Yep. Yes, definitely younger people, including people in their 20s and 30s and even kids. And so I think that's really important for people to realize is I hear people thinking that their age will protect them from COVID, that people in their age range haven't gotten really sick. And that's largely true, but it's not entirely true. So there've been plenty of people who've gotten really sick or who have long haul symptoms of COVID or who even have died from COVID in those age groups. So it's not worth the risk. It's just not worth the risk. And I think as people contemplate getting their kids vaccinated, I've got two kids in the age range that's likely to get vaccinated, to be authorized to get vaccinated soon, probably next week. I have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, and we're going to be there the moment that opens up. I don't want my kids to, we're seeing more younger people get sick, and I don't want my kids to be in that group. So I really encourage parents to think about that as well. And that we don't know if it's a variant, is the variant making younger people sicker? So it's scary.
Cassie Sauer, president of the Washington State Hospital Association. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Number two.
Well, in case you haven't heard, this big brouhaha now in the Republican Party, Liz Cheney is about to lose her leadership post within the party because she's been speaking the truth. And she's now being challenged by other Republicans in her home state of Wyoming. And here is something that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was caught saying on a hot mic.
I think she's got real problems. I've had it with it. I've lost confidence.
And again, the reason he's lost confidence and many others have lost confidence is that Liz Cheney has been very vocal about the big lie and saying that this is not who we are as a party. We know that this was not an election where Joe Biden cheated and that voters cheated and that Trump really won. And she says this is a pivotal time. This is a very important time for the party to stand their ground and fight against this nonsense. And what she's finding is she's not getting support.
Right.
I did not predict this. Here we are. We're in May of 2021. And even you and I have been talking about this when Donald Trump would leave office and when he was done. And we thought that, OK, things are kind of going to be kind of right themselves in the better direction for the Republican Party, because I do believe that in order for our country to be successful, we need a two-party system. No doubt about it, because sometimes I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all. Sometimes Democrats be doing stuff and I'll be like, yo, y'all out y'all mind. And the same thing goes with the Republicans. But that's why it's good to have that balance. I don't feel comfortable with the way things are going now. Actually, I'm almost afraid at the way that things are going now. I believe that Republicans like Liz Cheney, Michael Medved's, those type of Republicans, it's almost becoming to where you cannot speak your truth. You cannot say things or disagree with, let's be real, you can't disagree with Donald Trump. That's what this is about. And that's weird. It's weird for me to see Donald Trump go in and talk bad about Mitch McConnell. Right. If you don't say and do anything that he says, I'm talking about Donald Trump, then you are on the wrong side, it seems, of the Republican Party.
But I got to ask you this, though.
What's that?
Because I know it's easy to just blame everything on President Trump. But I have to ask, and I know you're not, but there are some who do. And here's my question.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You can stand up and say it's not OK, like Liz Cheney. I'm more upset about people like Kevin McCarthy, who initially had said this is on January 13th. He said that the president bears responsibility for the attack on Congress by mob rioters. And he said he should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. And then now he's changing his story. Why? Because he sees that, hey, the party's going in a different direction and I don't want to be left behind. Why are people allowing the bully to win? And if you are in a leadership position and you don't have the you-know-what to stand up and say, this is not right and this is not who we are as a party, why are you in a leadership position?
But by the way, I'm not blaming Donald Trump. And you said that. You said that about me, too. I'm not blaming him. What I am saying is, it just seems to be so clear. I don't know the answer to your why, Ursula. I just don't get it. But it seems to be very clear that if you are on his wrong side and you don't say and do what he wants, or if you speak out against something that happens that involves him, then you're in trouble. Liz Cheney is most likely, she's probably going to lose. She's going to lose out because of her stance. And I thought, like courage or the ability to speak out. And when we say right is right, wrong is wrong, and those things, I didn't know that whole cancel culture would follow along with that. And so I kind of scratched my head at this, but I think the future is the way that it's going. The future is showing this. The future is showing, in order for you to get back for 2022 elections that are coming up, in order for you to be on the Republican side of things and be able to win those seats, it almost feels like you cannot say wrong against Donald Trump.
You have to be part of the Trump side. Absolutely.
Yes.
I just encourage anyone who hasn't read it yet to read her opinion piece in The Washington Post. It's incredibly well written.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's totally reasoned, but I think the ship is left without her and others like Michael Medved, or I often hear former Republican gubernatorial candidate Rob McKenna on with Dave Ross in the morning. And I just think he's another example of who I completely respect in the Republican Party, who's reasonable and who holds up the principles of conservatism without just joining this whole cult-like mentality and saying things that are not true and then trying to make us believe that they're true. It's like spreading that big lie. It is a mind boggle.
Number three.
All right. Fox News had on a panel of three kids during a segment they called Failing Our Children. Now, a Philadelphia sixth grader named Mason Cedar, he said he thought Biden was doing a good job. Well, Ursula, you don't say Biden is doing a good job on Fox.
How close are you to getting back in the room? What do you miss most about not being in school?
I miss most, obviously, seeing my friends and all the after-school activities that I've done. And I think that we're very, very close getting back to school. And I think that the way that our new president is handling things is a very good way. And we would have not have gone to this if it were still the last president.
Really? That's hard to believe, because the last president was saying, I want every kid back in school.
That was host Brian Kilmeade. Now,
why did that get, get your attention?
Well, here's why it got my attention. Because I put myself in the role of an interviewer, like we do a lot. Ursula, I could not imagine us having a sixth grader on our show and them saying, let's just say they said something that we totally disagree with.
Yes.
Could you see us saying, wait a minute, that's pretty funny now. I don't know. A sixth grader? Like, are you so deep into your politics that you have to do that to a sixth grader?
I know. It felt like he was like really stooping to a level of basically going back to junior high. Really?
and like, you notice I said, you can disagree with the child. That's fine.
Yeah.
And you can say, but when does your politics stop? When do you have grace for little kids?
Just let it go.
Let it go. But hey, Brian, you showed them. You got that sixth grader. Rawr. Hey, coming up next, Secretary of State Kim Wyman will join the show next. You guys are listening to The Gene Ursula Show.
Welcome back to The Gene Ursula Show. In our last segment, if you missed it, we were talking about how difficult it is for so many Republicans to criticize former President Trump. And we talked about how Liz Cheney is now feeling the brunt of her speaking the truth and saying that there is no truth to the big lie. And now she may lose her leadership position. There is someone in our state who has been bold, who has been very truthful, and who has been calling out when her party makes a move that she disagrees with. And that is Secretary of State Kim Wyman, who is now blasting Republicans in Arizona for calling for this recount to the 2020 election results.
The precedence of this is just unnerving for election officials across the country. And it should alarm every American in the country, because we don't want people to be able to just, you know, walk into a crime scene and contaminate evidence for a future trial.
Secretary of State Kim Wyman joins us now on the Gene Ursula Show. Good morning, Kim.
Well, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we always appreciate you and your willingness to talk about very difficult topics. And in this case, why don't you explain to us what it is that has you extremely worried about what's going on in Arizona?
Well, one of the things that I've been very proud of my profession as election administrators, that over the last 30 years, we've worked very hard to have policies and procedures and laws that make our elections fair and that inspire confidence in everyone from, you know, the most liberal Democrat to the most conservative Republican. And what we're seeing in Arizona is this move to privatize administrative processes, politicize them, and try to have an outcome that calls into question the election by giving, you know, 2.1 million ballots to a private company with no accountability to the public or to the voters of Arizona. And this is a frightening precedent to set that I guarantee you will be attempted in other states.
So in case anyone's not following this, this is a pro-Trump private consulting firm called Cyber Ninjas. And it has been enlisted by Republican leaders in Arizona to do this count.
That's correct. The state Senate in Arizona decided that they wanted to do an audit independent of the Maricopa County election officials and independent of the Arizona Secretary of State's office. And while that sounds good on the surface, the problem with it is they, and this was taken to court, so it has been challenged in court, and a judge said that they had the statutory right and constitutional right to do that. The problem is that the Senate did not outline or specify any of the parameters or details. So this private company has come in and they've taken over the equivalent of our convention center, and they have pallets and pallets of ballots. They have voting machines that were used in the election, and they are now, you know, attempting to do some sort of, I don't want to call it a recount because I don't think you can even say that. It's an event. And the problem is that now they've contaminated all of those ballots. And Arizona, like every state in the country, has a federal obligation to protect the records of any election, ballots, and any materials for 22 months after an election, so that if you ever had to go back and visit those ballots, you could, and you could show the chain of custody. You could show all of the audit procedures that election officials employed at every step of the election. And now all of that has been thrown out the window because you've given these ballots and these materials to a third party.
Wow. Kim, if there's one thing that we have recently learned with the past election is, and are the threats that have been made on election officials, those that work near and around you as well. What are some measures that are going to be put in place to keep you guys protected going forward, whether it's temporary or permanent?
The same law enforcement protections every Washingtonian has. You know, there are laws that certainly would criminalize any kind of attack on a government official, but that's it.
Well, just to follow up on that, Kim, because obviously we were talking about how people pay the price for speaking out, even though they're just speaking the truth. Are you still getting hit a lot of heat, and now you're back in the news because you have said something about what's going on in Arizona? Does that make you a target again?
We'll see. We'll see. It certainly did. You guys are getting me all choked up on air.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, it certainly did in the aftermath of 2020. And, you know, when you're in public, you're always going to have the critics. You're always going to have people who are going to, you know, make outlandish claims or criticize your work. That comes with the territory, and that's a good, healthy part of democracy. In the 2020 election, people crossed the line, and they made death threats and things to people on my staff. That's why I'm getting upset. It's still, you know, months later. It's just frightening that people would start attacking government officials online, thinking that's okay.
Kim, is this
not okay?
It's not okay. We hear it in the emotion, and you were emotional the last time you were on our show. Is this
keep making me cry?
G. I'm sorry.
It's usually Ursula.
Sorry. Yeah.
is this the most scared that you've ever been in your career? Talk about that.
It is certainly the first time that it's given me pause, because it becomes so much real, so much more real. We were here in the building on January 6th, and I watched the protesters go over on the grass at the governor's mansion because I can see it out of my window, and the reality was hitting us square in the face that day of emotion and frustration that people feel, and I understand that. I understand every element of that. But when you start really threatening people's lives because of a job they hold, I think that's time where you need to take a step back and take a deep breath, and there's other ways to get to the issue you're trying to address.
Why do you continue? Why? I can hear it. You're scared. I hear the emotion. Then why do you keep going?
Oh, gee. I can't believe you get me on talking to the whole Seattle metro area talking about this. But, you know, I've spent 28 years doing work that I'm proud of. And it's important. And, you know, I think I could say this for any election official across the country, that the work we do, we never lose sight of. You know, democracy is in our hands. And it's important. And I guess what has always driven me is I can't imagine somebody coming in and undoing the work that we've done and undermining the accomplishments we've made in the state to balance access and security, to make sure that every vote is protected and that our elections are well run. And I think that part of my frustration out of 2020 is how well Washington State's election was run. How accurate, how accountable, how we could reconcile every single ballot we received back and tell you what happened to it. And to have people now just make up a narrative that is patently false on its face, to be able to get the airtime that they're getting that advances that narrative. And the irony that I keep finding in this, with all of the cybersecurity training that I've had over the last 4 years, this plays right into the misinformation and disinformation campaigns that, you know, our foreign adversaries have been really trying to advance. Gosh, I can't believe I'm crying on air. But, you know, this is exactly what Russia was trying to do 8 years ago. Was to try to divide Americans and trying to undermine democracy. And you know what? They are winning. So the irony of this is a lot of the narrative that's being advanced by people on the right is a narrative that was created in Moscow in 2014.
Secretary of State Kim Wyman, can I just say, as someone who has also become very emotional on the air, there is no shame in that. I hope that people hear you and know that you take your job so seriously, and you do a tremendous job, and it's one that is so difficult. We've seen it also with Republican secretaries of state in other states, including Georgia, where they got heat too. You have an unenviable position, but we got to thank you. And I am so thankful for people like you who are willing to speak out when they see something wrong, regardless. It should always be country before party, and you are the epitome of that.
Oh, thank Ursula, you. That means so much. Thank you. And, you know, this work is an honor to get to do. And, you know, every day, even on those hard days, it's worth every emotion and every tear and every drop of sweat. So so thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. Still ahead, it is time for scenarios. And in this scenario, it has to do with a wedding gift. Appreciate all of you. You listen to The Gene Ursula Show. It is The Gene Ursula Show. Coming up at 11:06, it will be time for Agree to Disagree. And in that, the question is pet anxiety a real thing? We'll talk about that in Agree to Disagree. But right now, it's time for Scenarios, brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
I'm getting married in September and really looking forward to it. My fiance and I have been talking about the wedding and making plans. I know it's a little late, but I've been dragging my feet on it for a reason. We have a little money saved up and want to buy a home. Now, when we move in together, we will save even more because we won't have one of the rent payments. In fact, by this time next year, we'll be about $20,000 short of having enough money for a down payment for a house. But here's the problem. Her parents have told us they don't care if we have a big wedding, small wedding, or no wedding at all. They're just going to give us $25,000 as a wedding gift, and we can use it however we want. We can put it into the wedding or honeymoon or buy a car or anything else that we want. That money is enough to get us into a house by next summer. My wife has always wanted a big wedding. Her dream wedding will cost about $40,000. That means we'd have to pay an extra $15,000 on top of the gift her parents are giving us. I want to be practical and use the money to start our life together on a strong foundation. She is leaning towards the big wedding. What should we do? Will we regret not having a blowout wedding? Or will we regret it more if we spend all that money and have it to rent for another 5 years? 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
This is a really interesting one, and it's one where I gave counsel to my sister when my niece was getting married, and I told her, why don't you give a certain amount, say this is what you're offering right now, and they can do with it what they will. Exactly how this scenario presented. And my niece, okay, I don't want to give too many details, but my niece, they ended up getting married on a mountaintop, saved so much of the money, and had a much smaller reception. I thought it was brilliant. Guess what? As a young couple, they bought a house. And so if I were giving advice to young couples today getting married, you don't need that 200 and 300 person wedding. You know what you're going to be at the end of that wedding? Exhausted and broke. Mm-hmm. I say go for it. Take advantage of that amount of money. Try to have a wedding that is beautiful, but it doesn't have to be so extravagant that it bankrupts you or puts you in the hole before you even get started. Right. And then get off on a good start. I mean, so try to work it out. That would just be my advice.
Hey, Chris Martin, you got about 30 seconds, bro.
Yeah, definitely save the money. Do not spend a bunch on a wedding, because there's a chance if you're a drinker, you might drink a lot and you'll forget the whole thing anyway. So just save the money and go on a trip or buy a house. Do something fun.
Good stuff. Ursula, you know what I always say? Having a big wedding, all you're doing it for the what? You're doing it for the what?
The gram.
You're doing it for the gram. That's all you're doing it for.
And honestly, no one cares as much as you do. No one. Cares as much as a couple.
As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up, Ursula. Here's a new PSA. When you go to work or you go around friends, you're like, hey, let me show you pictures of my wedding, or let me show you pictures of my vacation. I'm going to let you know, they don't care.
Yeah, they're good for about two or three.
Just show, hey, have I showed you this mountain that we saw on vacation? Yeah. That's it. If you get past two or three pictures, we are just, oh, it's so nice. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
And when you have those 300 people at your wedding, first of all, I mean, that's a huge catering bill. And secondly, you will not be able to talk to all of them.
No. And also, somebody is going to be upset at your wedding.
Of
course.
Just
so you know. Somebody didn't get the invite on time. Somebody is sitting in the wrong place. It's always a mess. So I really hope that you do not spend that money on a wedding. Keep that money. Get you a house. That is the best thing. And it's a beautiful investment.
100%.
All right, Ursula. But you know what I'm talking about when people come in and show pictures of their vacations.
Oh, yeah.
Like anything past two.
I've probably been that person on occasion.
All right. Hey, coming up next is time for Agree to Disagree. That's the part of the show where Ursula and I sit here and argue and fight with pillows. It's the Gene Ursula Show.